I would like to read in your hearing several verses from the 19th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 19, verses 23 through 30. John chapter 19, verses 23 through 30. And it reads as follows. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." And this was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and brought it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord. The title of the sermon is the sixth of the last sayings of Jesus from the cross upon which he was to die. It is finished. A crown of thorns had been pressed against his brow, a sign mocking him as quote unquote King of the Jews hung over him. Unknowingly, that sign, which was made and hung by Roman soldiers, no doubt, although it was made in jest, confirmed the identity, the true identity of the Christ. And in doing so, it was what J.C. Ryle called a mock homage. Four Roman soldiers divided his clothes, the Bible tells us, and just as the Old Testament prophesied in the 22nd Psalm, verse 18, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Standing at the foot of that cruel cross was Mary, the mother of the crucified one. Seeing her, Jesus said to her, referring to his disciple John, "Woman, behold your son," indicating that the future care of his mother Mary was to be the responsibility of the disciple whom he loved, John. Jesus is the Son of Man and the Son of God, certainly, but he is also most assuredly the Son of Mary. And with all of this eternal business to conduct, the very weight of the entire world upon his shoulders while on that cross, amazingly, Jesus did not forget his earthly mother. John 19:27 says that John took her to his own home from that day forth. Another example of Jesus' humanity that shines through from the cross is when he said to those who guarded him, "I am thirsty," verse 28. What a wonderful example of the self-limiting nature of Jesus on earth. The one who created every stream, every brook, every river, every sea, and every ocean is saying, "I am thirsty." How condescending. And what a holy condescension was it when the one who said, "If any man thirsts, let him come and drink." But he himself is reduced to being thirsty for you and me. The soldiers, as we read, responded to the request of Jesus by not offering him water to quench his thirst, but in their cruelty gave him sour wine instead. It was after this final act, this cruel act by the soldiers guarding Jesus, that he makes a proclamation from his cross. "It is finished." His work on earth has ended and his mission is accomplished, is what Jesus is saying. There is no unfinished business. Heaven's desk is clean. Jesus has punched his time clock. It's done. Notice that Jesus did not say it's started. Neither did he say it's nearly complete, as if there was something that you and me had to do. But Jesus emphatically, as weak as he must have been and with a parched throat, he managed to utter these words which were comprehensible. "It is finished." And in those three words, he is pointing us to the sufficiency of his own sacrificial death. In other words, "I am enough." Verse 30, the Bible says, "Our Lord bowed his head." It reminds me that the very life of Jesus could be depicted as a long prayer. Now he bows his head and gives up his spirit or his life. He gave up the spirit, meaning Jesus was yet in control of his destiny unto the very end. He gave it up. In John 10:18, confirmation of what I've just said exists when we hear the words of Jesus himself, who said, "No man takes my life, I lay it down on my own accord." The words "it is finished" is a victor's cry of a conquest. There were no screams of protest, there was no lunging forward, trying to get down from that cross. But instead, there was a declaration of victory and an acknowledgement of success. "What I came to do, I finished. It is finished." There's no need to look for another Savior. There's no need to look for another. There's no need to look for salvation from any other source. Jesus said, "It is finished." Anyone else who claims to be Christ over here, over there, are simply imposters. It is finished. Witnesses said that at that very moment of Christ's death, there was a reaction to that God-appointed death, a reaction by nature, in that the earth quaked. at the death of the one who was the Word of God, who spake the earth into existence. The rocks were split. The bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and came out of the tombs, Matthew 27 says. It was as if those who had lied in the earth were protesting, or they were saying they weren't worthy to lie in the same earth as the Savior. It's as if those who were raised up put on a parade in Jesus' honor as they walked the streets of Jerusalem. At that same time, more witnesses said the veil or the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. This thick curtain separated the very place where the glory of God was said to have dwelt, the holiest of places in the temple. This curtain, you know, it created a real barrier, a separation between the spaces where people occupied and the manifest presence of God. There was no access, limited access to God. Symbolically and in reality, there were separation between God and people. Curiously enough, even in a religious temple. A place where you would think that people go to get close to God. Yet there was separation. They were held at a distance. God was some distance away. It is finished, Jesus said. Well, that begs the question to the mildly curious, well, what's finished? The late and famous theologian John Gill once said, the whole will of God is finished. Jesus was miraculously conceived and came into this earth, that he lived a perfectly pleasing life before God the Father, that Jesus was wrongly convicted but died gracefully and sacrificially. He fulfilled the perfect will of God the Father. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, come of a woman, come under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, that we might receive sonship. And accordingly, Romans 5:6 says that Jesus died according to God's clock. When the hour hand struck grace and the minute hand touched mercy, Jesus died. The Roman text says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. In sending Christ, the whole will of God is finished. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1, it says this, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. In this same chapter, there was no less than 12 curses. Incidentally, not accidentally, but incidentally, the same number as the 12 tribes of Israel. There were no less than 12 curses directed towards those who breach or who do not keep the commandments. They break them. James 2 says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all of it. If one breaks just one commandment, they are guilty of breaking all of them. It's all or nothing. You're either perfect or you're imperfect. You're either saint or sinner. What a hopeless circumstance for the Israelites to experience the frustration of trying to do that which is not humanly possible to do. Your curious mind may say, well, why then did God do it? Because the ultimate purpose of the law was to point Israel to God's real answer to sin's dilemma, the Lord Jesus Christ. from grasping onto a lamb or a goat or a pigeon or turtle dove to clutching the real eternal Lamb of God. That's why Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, Paul told the church in Galatia chapter 3. The earthly priesthood then is out of business. It's finished. Because in Christ Jesus, the animal sacrifices are now finished. The streams of blood upon the altar with the slaughter of a multitude of lambs, goats, and pigeons is finished. Jesus then represents the completed law. The law is finished. The mission of the incarnation of Christ is finished. The finality of his death and death's supreme power over humanity is finished. Jesus' divinity shrouded in humanity is finished on the cross. His suffering is over. Christ's shame and Christ's humiliation is finished. God's judgment for sin is finished. Christ's preordained one-time offering for sin is finished. McLaurin said he drank the wrath of God that we might never have to drink it. Instead, Jesus tasted the bitterness of the abandonment of the Father on that cross, that we might be embraced by the love of God. Finished, Jesus would cry. Someone else would say it is finished could also be interpreted paid in full. Finished, a clear title where the debt is not forgotten but paid. The reign of sin is finished. Humanity's domination by and our enslavement to sin is finished. The holy and salvific translation or transaction between God the Father in heaven and God the Son on earth, where the currency of grace and mercy exchanged hands, finished, Jesus cried. The law is finished. The old covenant is fulfilled. Finished, and the new covenant is ratified. The construction of the road to restoration to God is finished. The legal demands of divine justice is finished. God's wrath is finished. The roadmap to glory is finished. Redemption, full redemption, is accomplished. Christ Jesus bought back or redeemed us, those once enslaved by sin and sin's master Satan. God's rescue mission is finished. The foundation of the church is built. Finished, Jesus cried. Everyone entangled in the web of deceit and bound by the shackles of lust are freely forgiven just for the asking. By the power of the cross, the chains of human pride and arrogance fall off. To those stranded on the highway of life, lost and without direction, teetering on the cliff of hopelessness, they're rescued just for the asking. To the ones who find themselves drowning in the muck of self-help, self-improvement, and self-righteousness are thrown a lifeline. This information didn't come from a secondhand source. It didn't come to us by rumor, but Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, we can trust it. You can embrace it and have eternal life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It is finished. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the glory of the cross. That you would send your one and only Son to die for the sins of the world. What a marvelous, marvelous thought. That you love us so much that you would give all